And that's why we're doing this lesson, so you'll know how to turn. The lesson aim is to come out of denial, stop denying the power of God, that God's power is true. Know God, He's Lord, He's truth. You know, it's time for us to turn from all the evil works of the enemy, everything that he's doing and confronting us with, and we're walking with him in these things. Because when we deny God, we're walking with the devil. So we're gonna pick back up on this Thursday, and we'll continue this lesson. Amen and amen.
Family, you have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare broadcast with Evangelist Wanda Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wanda Bell, or you can write us at Evangelist Wanda Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana 71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
In the 28th chapter of Matthew, in verse 20, at the end of Jesus' discourse about going into all the world, verse 20 is interesting because many times we don't pause to really understand what Jesus was saying when he said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. And my brothers and sisters, I think it's so important because sometimes we as Christians become so concerned about the supernatural things that we forget about the natural things. That we forget that we're made of dust and divinity. That there is a part of us that we are required to maintain and to develop and to do to the best of our ability, because according to 1 Corinthians 6 and 19, Paul says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? And so one of the things that I want to share with us today and just minister to us more than preach a sermon to you today is the fact that we are responsible and accountable for taking care of this body, this temple that the Spirit of the living God lives on the inside of. While we're here journeying and while we're here on this nomadic journey, God requires us to take care of this flesh. It doesn't belong to us. 1 Corinthians 6:19 goes on to say, it is not ours. It doesn't belong to us. Your body is not your own. It belongs to God. He paid a price for it through giving his son and his son giving his life so much so that we understand he has purchased us with his pure and precious blood, which means if he has purchased us, we no longer have a right to us. We belong to him. And so if we belong to him, then that means then we have to do what he says rather than what we want to do. And so it's changing our mentality and our understanding and helping us to understand in this world, we represent the living God. He's called us to be witnesses and representatives of him. And so it's important for us to understand. Jesus says in this 28th chapter of Matthew, closing it out, teaching them to observe all things. All means all, both spiritual and natural. Teaching them to observe. What does the word observe mean? It simply means to attend to carefully, to take care of, to guard, to observe, to reserve, to undergo something. When he talks about to observe all things, to be able to look, pay attention to, understand what our role, responsibility is, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Start in the 5th chapter of Matthew, and you see the Beatitudes there. There are many things the Lord Jesus Christ says to us. Keep on through the 6th chapter. You keep on. You'll see him unfolding truths for us to live by. 7th chapter of Matthew. He continues on. But these are not only the things that he's commanded us, he's taught us. The whole Word of God is personically what he's speaking of. He is the personification of the Word, the living Word. He is the Logos. He says, whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, what does it say? That we ought to learn how to operate in the Word of God, the will of God, the way of God, for the purpose of God's glory. You're bought with a price. God redeemed you, rescued you, so that you can resemble, respond, and represent him. Him. Now, teaching them to observe all things has both to do with both that pertains to the spiritual and the natural. All things have to do that has to do with earth and with heaven. All things has to do with understanding. He said, be wise as a serpent, but humble as a what? A dove. Listen, he has commanded us to do many things, so you can't lock it into one prescription of how we ought to operate. He's talking about operation of the whole person. And sometime when it comes to God, we try to place God in a box where it only contains the spiritual and not the natural. Jesus' concern was about the whole man. As a matter of fact, he spent most of his earthly ministry dealing with healing, restoring. He had to do with helping us understand the concerns he has about us walking in whole health. Health in our natural man, health in our spiritual man. Listen. If the natural man has health issues, it's going to affect every part of him. If the spiritual man has health issues, it's going to affect every part of him. We've got to understand that the Lord has designed us to be complete in him. Do you know when you were designed originally by God, placed on planet Earth, we were not meat eaters. We were not carnivores. We were vegetarians. We were here to eat fruits, vegetables, nuts, grains, berries, that kind of thing. All of those life-giving substances that reproduced, when we ate those things, we had life on the inside of those fruit and those things that regenerated life inside of us. As a matter of fact, when we got sick, there were things from the earth that we were able to eat or to take or to use for the healing of the body. They responded to the body because we were what we ate. Newsflash, we still are. So when old folks say, well, they sure don't make folk like they used to, well, they make them like it, but we just don't act like we used to act, eat like we used to eat, and carry on like we used to. And so as a result, we have moved away. Our bodies are not as strong. You hear old folk talk about, man, how they walked 20 miles to school and in the cold and so forth, got up and fed the chickens and chopped wood and did all that. That's all before school. Milked the cow and did this and all that, still walked 20 miles to school, got that learning, came on back, and then worked from cant to can and all of that, from the time you can't see to the time you can't see again, to way up in the evening, but they were strong and they were not as sickly as we are today. We can't take no stuff now. Can't go through nothing. Young women, hear the stories of these older women. Man, you don't hear women back in those days had 12, 18, 20-something children. Man, we trip out over a bunch now. Six is a bunch, and man, we don't see many of that today. Nah. You know, women can't take it. Well, the men ain't no better. I'm just saying, it's a different time, different day, and so forth. I mean, we don't understand how God has prescribed for us to live through this owner's manual, which is the Word of God, teaching them to observe everything you need to know how to live a successful life, a healthy life, a wealthy life, a pure life, a good life is in the Word. And so you've got to teach, as Jesus is saying to them. Listen, he told them, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. You're going to have haters in the world. We ought not get caught on that because we are not of the world. If we were of the world would love its own. So you ought to be excited. Teach them to observe that. You need to observe all things. You can tell much about a tree by the fruit it bears. Observe it. You'll see. You'll understand. You'll get to know. Do you know this? That many of the diseases we have today stems from our diet, what we eat, or rather what we don't eat. It comes from what we put in us. And so if what we put in us is not sufficient to keep up the function and activity of that God placed on planet Earth to do so, then we can't get from our food what our body needs to be healthy and to diagnose its own problems and fix itself through the food that we eat. So there comes another issue now with sickness, et cetera, et cetera. Original sin brought on sickness, and sickness is again a derivative biblically of sin. But from that, sin is not just from sins committed in a moral way as such, but it can be the sin again of not eating correctly, not eating what you should eat. And so, I mean, if we are what we eat, then a whole lot of us can look at each other and see, maybe we don't know the specific things, but you can tell it's good or it's bad. Folk don't binge on healthy food. See, the flesh don't want what's good for it. It wants what's not good for it. And so it's all of the bad things that we shouldn't be having, that, you know, all of the fats, the salts, the oils, and all the rest of these different things that the body clogs up our arteries and all the rest of that stuff. But it's good. It's good to us. And the problem is that it's working against this temple. It's working against this body. It's working against what we are in charge of taking care of. This body does not belong to us, so that means I need to be careful what I put in it, because it's not mine. And that's why it's going to go back to the dust one day. But I'm going to have to give an account for it. Not only am I going to have to give an account for it, but I'm going to have to deal with the side effects because of my choices. And so I can make many of my days a lot better than I make them by just simply choosing to eat right. Now that means it's going to be drastically different from the way your diet looks right now. Do you know, if we were to try and eat healthy, most of us would resolve right now that we just going to die early, and we just going to go on and be fat, and we just going to, that's it, that we can't handle that. So that's why it's a lifestyle change. It is something that we gradually do. You know, before I was diagnosed with diabetes, I used to have 4, 5, 6 pieces of chicken at one setting. And I ain't gonna lie, I loved my greasy fried chicken. I loved it. I was a little boy, and I got mad with myself one day because I heard some old folk talking about Kentucky Fried Chicken, and they didn't like Kentucky Fried Chicken because it was too greasy. I was a boy, and we were traveling, and my uncle and I, and it was, I can't remember where we were going, but we hadn't passed any place to eat, looked like, in tens of miles. And that was a Kentucky chicken coming up, and my uncle asked me, did I want some Kentucky chicken? And I told him, no, I don't want Kentucky Fried Chicken because it's too greasy. Now I'm a little boy now. I really know nothing about all that. So instead of getting Kentucky Fried Chicken, we rode on for perhaps another hour or two, and we finally stopped at a little corner store. And I remember to this day what I got to eat. I wound up getting a pig lip and some potato chips. And I think back so many days, and Kentucky was one of my greasy fried chicken favorites. I might as well be real with you, but I was like, I turned down Kentucky Fried Chicken for a pig lip and potato chips. Well, now neither one of them are good for you, but if I had to choose, I would have made a different choice. And so many of us, you can tell whether or not you've grown and matured and you realize this is the Lord's body by going to a buffet, a wonderful buffet. Some of y'all claim y'all go to the casino for the buffet. And what do you eat? What do you eat? You know, I mean, you know, do you eat, you know, artery clogging meats and sweets, you know, decadent, you know, delicious delights and all of that kind? What do you eat? Or do you go and eat nutritiously? No. You don't. You don't go there to eat right. They ain't put all that stuff out there for you to eat right. And then we wash it down with whatever we wash it down with. And it's either filled with sugar or alcohol. Y'all getting quieter and quieter by the minute. And some of you, no discipline, you just eat and eat and eat and eat. You take a break and then you just eat and eat and eat and eat. people come and people go and you still eat. Get them, go to the bathroom and come on back and eat. You want to get your money's worth. You done got about 10 people's money worth. And then after that, you think you're energized and you're ready to exercise or you're fueled to accomplish what God designed and purposed your life to do? No, you tired. Ooh, I need a wheelbarrow. I need somebody to come in, take a winch and wheel me out of here. Why? Why? Pool was designed to energize you. But we become gluttons. Gluttonous. Just overindulge. See, so even if we hadn't decided to make the right choices, we'll at least learn how to control the choices that we do make. I went from eating off a platter to eating off an oversized salsa and discovered I get just as full. As a matter of fact, I learned that even when I got full while eating off the platter, I had my mind made up and my heart fixed. I'm gonna finish this. Doing detriment to my body, didn't even realize it. Ain't nothing cute about stuffing yourself. And then stuffing yourself with the wrong stuff. Nothing good comes out of that. And then you continue with that action, and then you learn that there are complications. For every action, there's a reaction. And usually the reaction does not make you feel good. Because your body is reacting to stuff that it wasn't supposed to have and have in those quantities. And so we don't even exercise. And then we don't even rest right. You can't rest right, so much so that you can't sleep right. You got to sit up in a chair and sleep. Or even if you just sit down, your body just tired of carrying that weight around with you. For what? For what? Teaching them to observe all things. I even discovered clothes are cheaper in smaller sizes. See, you ain't got to talk to me and you ain't got to be real with me, but I'm gonna be real and talk to you today. It makes a difference. Do you know now that I don't have to buy those XX extra large sizes and all the rest of that stuff? Got more select. Matter of fact, they stop making certain styles when you get too big. Be like big people, they don't need to have on this here color. They don't need to have on all of this here style. They don't need to have on all of that. They become prejudiced against you. You ain't got to make excuses for it. Change it. Do something about it. And you're embarrassed about it, but not embarrassed enough to do the right thing about it. See, teach them to observe all things. What would happen right now if you made up in your mind, I'm going to eat right, going to exercise, going to rest right. I'm going to be selective in what I eat. And until I get to the point where I'm making the best selections, I'm going to cut my portion sizes down. Do you know every change, every decision, every meal, if you make a decision to do that, you will cut down the risk of getting, maintaining, and keeping some of these diseases. You can rid some of that and adding 30 minutes of exercise cardio. Something a day and continuing on until you get stronger and get stronger and get stronger. And then you begin to see as a lifestyle. Man, when I cut down on the salt reduction. I opened up a bag of Lay's potato chip and ate one and almost puked because it was so salty. It was like, Jesus. And, you know, before then, salt was my friend. I salt everything. You ain't taste your food. I don't care. I like salt. Everything go better with salt. A little salt on it. I'm the salt of the earth. Yeah, well, salt showed me, you know, it plays a vital role in my body, but not the overindulgence of it. It does more harm and more damage. What I'm saying to you, I'm saying about me. What I'm saying about me, I'm saying about you. This body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now, of course, I'm glad I preference this message by saying it's not a sermon. I'm not preaching to you. I'm ministering to you as a spiritual father to his children, trying to help them understand, trying to help our young folk understand while you're yet in a place where you can prevent some of these things, because it's a whole lot easier to prevent it than to try to get rid of it. Can somebody say amen? Can you beat diabetes? Yes, you can beat it. But it's a whole lot more difficult to beat it than to never get it in the first place. And so for those who got it, I'm still trying to tell you there's help and there's hope. But for those who don't have it, I'm trying to tell you, you don't even have to come down this street. You can make some decisions now. One of them is being screen tested. See. Because what folk don't realize is, it's not an old folk disease. You have juvenile diabetes just like you have an adult diabetes. You have children having this issue as well. And so, there are so many things that I want to say about that. We've had men health fairs, and we're having that as a part of, as you probably heard Brother Dunn appeal to the men of our ministry. Dr. Kelly spoke to the men, and he was saying one of the things is that make sure you have a doctor you can talk to, who you can explain and express what your concerns are, et cetera, et cetera. It's important, because if you can't be honest with your doctor, who can you be honest with? If you can't tell him how you really feel, who can you tell? And that started a dialogue, and I said, well, let me ask him a few more questions and find out about a few more things, and which led to me going and getting a total physical, all of the blood work, everything to be sure about everything. And it was in that time that I discovered all of those things that I thought were not an issue with me, but for other folk I knew. But not me. I wouldn't stop till I dropped. I was dragging, but I didn't stop till I dropped. Then I'd go see a doctor. But that was the wrong time. I mean, I needed to go then too, but if I had gone earlier, it wouldn't have gotten to that point.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry. Partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you, and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the